everybody. Welcome or welcome back to the online worship service here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. My name's Amanda. I get to be one of the pastors here, and I'm excited you found us online and decided to worship with us today. Whether this is your first time checking us out or you have been coming back week after week, we hope you will take a next step with us. A next step might look like subscribing to this YouTube channel so that you get a reminder every week to worship God with us. A next step might be filling out the I'm New Here form. That tells us that you're out there, that you want to get better connected, and our team will follow up with you. A next step might be showing up on a Sunday morning. We believe God can use our online worship service to connect you to God and to this faith community, but we believe something different happens when we show up and gather in person, and so we invite you to come on a Sunday morning. We've been in a message series where we are talking about God's call to grow our faithfulness as a congregation and the fullness of what it feels like to be here, to grow our congregation in faith and in number so that more people can experience God's life-changing love. Before we hear today's message, let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks that you meet us right where we are. Whether we feel like you've been far away or haven't answered our prayers or seem hard to trust, God, we praise you for never giving up on us. Help us to hear your word come alive today. Help us determine a clear next step. Help us say yes to your will in our lives. Amen. So it was a dusty and warm day. The cool of the morning had faded away as we got off the bus on the side of the road. Normally the women would have walked, but because we were there, we had transportation. They led us down bumpy and winding roads. There were some homes and some businesses along the road, but they didn't resemble anything like the ones back home. We were walking the roads of Livingstone, Zambia in one of the villages. And our guides were the deacons, the women's ministry of the church. And we were out to do evangelism. There were lots of wild moments on this mission trip. When our bus almost broke down in the African bush. When some adult leaders went rogue, passing out cash to teenagers in the church, creating a big power struggle and competition. When we ran out of money and I had to use a Zambian ATM to get kwacha to buy the chickens who would be slaughtered for our dinner that night. When I took a picture with a 2-year-old lion cub. But despite all of that crazy, one of the craziest feelings was walking up to strangers in their front yards, in their shop windows, and asking them about Jesus. A bunch of white Presbyterians from New Jersey, we were way out of our depth here. And I was the pastor, and everyone was looking to me for guidance. But I was just as unfamiliar with this kind of sharing Jesus with people. Later that day, back in our lodging, as we were doing our debrief devotions, we talked about how everyone we seemed to talk to that day already knew about Jesus. They would quote scripture, they had knowledge of Jesus, some more detailed than the members of our own church crew. Knowledge they had, but faith, belief, trust in that Jesus is who he says he is, well, that's a whole other thing, right? And really not our place to judge. That's not why we were there. But we did find it odd that we were out there to share Jesus with a bunch of people who seemed to already know quite a bit about Jesus. Don't worry, I'm not about to pass out Bible tracts and send you out to a street corner to do street evangelism. That's not really our style in the Presbyterian world. But we are going to be talking about how we share our faith and what's at stake if we don't. And I know right now, in our cultural moment, it is very confusing and complicated and risky to talk about what it means to be a practicing Christian and what the implications are for that, for our politics, for our relationships, for our stances. It's just more overwhelming and scarier and complicated than many people want to face most days. And yet the cultural moment for the early church was equally full of confusion and consequences for what one believed about God and what that meant for how they lived their lives. It was risky to be associated with this new Jesus movement, this growing faith movement following Jesus. It was countercultural, it was subversive, it had political implications, it was risky. And yet, people faithfully shared the gospel on temple steps and town squares and on living room floors until the whole world would come to know about God's truth and freedom and fulfilling promises in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, whose missionary letters make up most of the New Testament, he wrote to the church in Rome. And the church in Rome was made up of both Jewish and non-Jewish Christians. And they practiced some Jewish customs and some non-Jewish customs. And so there was disagreement and competition and judgment between these differing groups of people about the rules for things like observing Sabbath and keeping kosher and being circumcised. So to help unify the church in Rome, Paul provides his most complete articulation of the gospel, believing that the good news that announces Jesus' life and death and resurrection and God's adoption of all people into God's chosen family would be the thing to bring about unity and help people lay aside their differences of what it means to follow God. Ultimately, Paul is inviting people to put their trust in God, believing that God has fulfilled those promises that the Jewish believers held on to, the promises made to their ancestors that they were fulfilled, that God had been faithful in the person of Jesus Christ. But how can people come to trust in God's promises if no one tells them about it? This brings us to our passage today from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 17. Paul is writing to that divided church in Rome, saying, "But how are they to call upon the one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all have obeyed the good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ." Paul mentions these four movements of somebody coming to faith. There's the sending of somebody who brings the good news, the preaching of the good news, and then on the hearer to hear it and believe. Now, we know that some of this is the Holy Spirit's work to do. We can't make someone believe in God. We cannot force faith on someone. But part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus is to be someone who invites others to follow Jesus along with us, to be people who point others to Jesus in the scriptures, in our lives, and in the world around us. And sweet Presbyterians, this is where we get nervous. We're great at a food pantry, a rummage sale, a potluck, but stepping into these waters of sharing personal faith stories, inviting people to come to church with us, praying out loud in a group, this is where the church folks that I know get a little nervous and a little quiet. Maybe we feel comfortable doing this with our own people who are already with us in the church, who already share our faith and know us well. But many hesitate to bring that part of themselves to other places where they are in relationship, to the office and the school and the neighborhood and the friend group. It makes sense. And I don't fault anyone for it. Faith is a really personal thing and something that can live in our inner life. But faith is also communal. God sent the Holy Spirit to gather believers together, to give them the living word. Something happens when we are together to worship, to pray, and to serve that does not happen when we are trying to do those things on our own, by ourselves. It was part of Jesus' last instructions to the disciples to take this message of who Jesus is out into the world. It's that great commission. Like Josh mentioned a couple weeks ago, as we began this sermon series, we want to envision a church community that is growing in a way that might fill up our space here. And I wonder, like many of you might, well, how exactly is that going to happen? And I wonder, how is that going to happen unless the people who are already here feel called to do something about it? I wonder, what if it's your job to grow the church? Not mine, not Pastor Josh's, not the elected leaders, but what if all of you who choose this as your faith community make it your mission, make it your job to grow the church? What if it's not up to any one of us, but all of us, to do our part to help this community grow in faith and in number so that our spaces are full? What would it take? What would you ask God to do? What would you pray for? Who would you bring with you? How soon would you give up? Personal invitations, personal stories, they are the cornerstone of growing relationships with Jesus. They're the cornerstone of growing faith communities. A personal invitation from you to your adult child, your grandchild, your next door neighbor, the widow down the block, has the potential to be somebody's first step in taking a next step in a relationship with God. You have the potential to make that kind of impact. Invite someone to sit with you in church next Sunday. Offer to pick them up. Invite them to have a cup of coffee with you afterwards. If they say no, ask again. Sometimes our no's have everything to do with availability and nothing to do with interest. So ask again. If there was somebody you were trying to deepen a relationship with or make a connection with, you would have to keep trying until your schedules align. So invite somebody to come with you this Sunday. And if they're unavailable, ask again in a little while. Something one of our parents said years ago about our church experience was that it was like a playdate they didn't have to plan. When you show up on a Sunday morning, you are going to have kids to play with and grown-ups to talk to and a ton of snacks. It is like a playdate that you don't have to plan. You didn't even have to clean up your living room or hide your piles of laundry. One of the things that we need to really believe and be committed to is that when you bring someone with you on a Sunday morning, that there is something here for them. And maybe they're not ready to hear the good news of the gospel, but there is something here for them. There is relationship, there is community, there are snacks. We need your personal invitations to grow the church, because only you live in the spaces that you live in. Only you know the people that you connect with and bump into and go the places that you go on a daily basis. We need your personal invitations. We also need your stories. One of the parts I loved the most about our capital campaign season last fall was that we had these prayer cards. We had them in the pew backs in the church, and then we had a prayer station in the back of the sanctuary. And we were inviting people every week to write down their prayers of gratitude. I thank God for PRPC because, and we filled up these cards week after week during our capital campaign season. And as a gift of gratitude to the Capital Campaign team, Josh put them all together in a book so that we could remember what we believe God is doing here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. We need your stories. And sometimes people forget that they have stories about what God is doing in this space. So here's what you have to say about Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. You say, I thank God for PRPC because it's my home away from home. I love the pastors and the programs. It helped me find my way back to faith. I thank God for PRPC because I belong. I thank God for PRPC because it helps me understand our faults and God's forgiveness. Because you are our family. Because it's a place of peace in a chaotic world. We need your personal stories. You could be anywhere on a Sunday morning. You could be watching anything online, but you are here. You chose to be here because God shows up for you in this place and with these people. God comes alive for you through these relationships and experiences that you have with our church. And we want more people to get to experience God's life-changing love like you have. And we need you to do it. It's like the Apostle Paul said, how is anyone to believe in Jesus of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim Jesus? And how are they to proclaim Jesus unless they are sent? So consider yourselves sent. You are sent by God, who invites all of us to be a part of God's mission in the world, and you are sent by this church to be ambassadors of God's life-changing love to the people that you connect with and come across in your life. To be an active participant in helping this community grow in faith and in fullness. You are sent.